Welcome to the home of fantasy football's hot stove. It's the all-purpose Roto Fantasy Football Show. Let's go.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Hot Stove, fantasy football's fastest show on the air. That's right, our host jamming as much content as we can into 30 minutes. Every Saturday, trying for 52 weeks a year, find the Hot Stove at allpurposeroto.com and iTunes. Send your questions, your comments to Bob or Chris at allpurposeroto.com. And now, live from our Fantasy Football Tactic Studio, it's Chris and myself.
Still with the almost second person.
Yeah, playing with that. I like flirting with that.
The almost second person. Very, very nicely adjusted this week after I called you out.
You did. So I'm going to I put a couple of feelers out to the folks that did some of our on-air, let's call it on-air voiceover talent. So okay, we'll get a couple more read-ins now so that we can have an official read-in again. So football draft, right? We're on football draft eve. We had Shane Halem on last week. That was fun. We had Eric Bauke from, of course, the FFPC talking about those guys gearing up. We've got basketball playoffs for sports enthusiasts. Everything's going very exciting. And I have got to ask right away because you mockingly said how it would be insane. What was your reaction when, after paying quarterback Sam Bradford, the Eagles decide to move up to the two spot?
I don't know. That's the entire situation's pretty phenomenal. So they're paying, I think, what was it? I'd have to look it up, but I believe it's $26 million for two quarterbacks now, and now it's going to be up to like $30 to $35 million for three quarterbacks. Which is if one of those quarterbacks isn't, say, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, Cam Newton, it's not exactly a situation you want to be in. So I guess I'm real confused, Bob, as to why they gave Sam Bradford all that money, I guess is what I would say.
I have to admit, I'm okay with a lot of the Eagles' moves this year. I think they've improved their team in free agency. I think they did what needed to be done to kind of reset some chemistry in that locker room with a new coaching. I think you have to do stuff like that sometimes. And I'm very optimistic because I want teams to be successful because that makes fantasy more fun for all of us and makes fans happier, right? And I wasn't crazy about Sam Bradford, but I was okay with it, saying, hey, Matthews will have value, Ertz will have value. Bradford's not the 25th best quarterback in the league, and he's not the 10th, but you need a quarterback. So, okay, you know, you got to pay a guy to keep a guy. But then, like you just said, now you bring in Chase Daniels, and then you go ahead and move up to the two spot. Is everyone overreacting, thinking this is a slam dunk quarterback? Maybe it's not.
Why not just let Bradford walk, right? And sign Chase and trade for the quarterback. Mm-hmm. This is an applicable scenario for fantasy owners as well, because sometimes this happens where guys kind of spiral out of control from a value perspective.
That's right.
You know, I don't think that either one of these guys, Goff or Wentz, is a slam dunk prospect. No one says that they are. What do you think? Like a 40-60 chance that either one of them pans out, let alone both of them? It's probably going to end up debilitating either the Rams franchise or the Eagles franchise that they've done this. One or the other, it's probably going to happen. But if you're the Chargers and you're the Cowboys, you know what's real amazing? Getting one of the top two consensus most talented players in the entire draft when you're picking third and fourth.
That is what's going to happen, and the Cowboys certainly have got to be relishing this position they're in right now, because they could conceivably be taking the best skill position on offense outside of offensive line or the best defender in the entire draft this year at the four spot.
Yeah, I mean, people are in love with Jalen Ramsey. You know, it's him and Tunsil are pretty clearly the two best. Which, if they got Tunsil, that'd be pretty funny with how that offensive line already is. I shudder to think how good their offensive line would be with Tunsil on top of what they already have.
It's as you said, it's phenomenal for the Dallas fans, so I'm happy for them. And San Diego, certainly, you know, you got to think that if you're the Chargers with so many holes on that team, that just moving down anywhere from 7 to 20 spots, and it appears that we're in this climate now where draft picks are more affordable, so teams are willing to trade them. that, gee, San Diego, I'm pulling for you. I'm pulling for Phillip Rivers. Get me an extra pick, Chris. I don't care if it's even next year's draft. There's enough in the top 15. Every player they pick would help them, so move down.
Tunsil's exactly what they need, though. They need a left tackle pretty badly.
Well, they need everything. They need everything.
I'd say a left tackle. Their defense sucks, but a left tackle, they've been missing a left tackle for a long, long time.
A couple of decades.
they need a left tackle like you read about. So let's I would just lock it in and just draft him.
Yeah, I suppose you're actually probably right. I like to try to play GM, you know, and have more picks and have fun and say I'm going to rebuild the team and be yeah. fantastic, right? But you're right. I mean, you got Rivers. You got to keep the guy. You got to try to keep the guy healthier. Theoretically, you have a rookie running back from last year you believe a lot in. You've got Woodhead as your third down guy. You've got some talent at wide receiver. Like you said, your defense really let you down, but you've got some talent on that defense. They seem to be underperforming. So, yeah, you're probably right. One of the biggest things they could do to help their offense is to sign the road-grading, pass-blocking left tackle.
But, yeah, I mean, we see this every year in fantasy drafts where people try to get a little too cute. So, Andrew Luck last year was going in the first round. And, you know, somebody might draft Thomas Rawls, say, in, like, the top six this year just because he's projected out. And it's not that I don't like Thomas Rawls. I just think that that's aggressive. So that, you know, stuff like that can happen. And then all of a sudden guys are falling to you and, don't overthink it is what I would say. Just take the guy, you know, take one of the guys who should have gone in the top five.
Yeah, that's good advice. So it's certainly going to make for a lot of fun. We had a great conversation with Shane. He'll be on drafttv.com streaming live. We'll probably talk to him a little bit during the draft. We all talked about how fun it is, the best way to watch the draft, having been there and been on TV and been with friends. Everyone's got a way they actually like to watch that draft unfold. And, boy, a week from, you know, this coming Thursday is just going to be so – and I hope everyone's team does something that they like.
I mean, the Rams and the Eagles, it's going to be pretty tough at this point.
You're kind of
locked in. If you're a Rams or Eagles fan, you're kind of locked into whatever they want to do. But Goff going to the Rams, it sounds like, and Wentz going to the Eagles. And I mean, we'll see what happens, man. It's a weird time of year, and I want to talk to you because, you know, this specific show, the Hot Stove, we talk a lot of rumors that we pull off Twitter. And this time of year is kind of a corrosive time for the anonymous scout.
Yes.
The Miles Jack thing, I really didn't like this past week where an anonymous scout said that his knee was a ticking time bomb. And then when, you know, some connected guys went around and talked to all 32 teams and he passed every single physical for all 32 teams. So it's kind of... You got to be careful with this anonymous scout crap because that really, you know, like this could cost the kid a lot of money if it ended up actually affecting his draft stock.
Miles Jack, Chris is talking about the consensus number one linebacker out of UCLA. They, as he said, some people questioned his knee and whether or not he can play the career. Not unlike a lot of stuff that happened to Ajayi with some legitimate. He did have known issues with his knee, but then, of course, it got exploded into a bigger issue. So you've always, to me, been kind of one of the folks that have wondered sometimes if this is almost intentional plant material trying to drive the guy's stock down because the team feels they're maybe only five or six slots away from getting him.
I mean, and this guy's pretty talented, too. So
Healthy?
Yeah.
Please, Dolphins.
I mean, I mean, he can play like a cornerback. He can cover like a cornerback, basically. And he's a pretty ridiculous linebacker. So I just, like I said, when I read that and then later in the app, you know, I felt bad when I read that because my first reaction is like, oh, well, if that's true, that's terrible for the kid because he, you know, could be pretty ridiculous. But then as soon as I started reading draft Twitter in the afternoon and everyone just denying that, it really didn't sit right with me.
Well, the thing with Jack too is injury history there. His injury was in September. He had surgery and then he literally withdrew from school to prepare for the draft. So he's been focusing on that leg and that rehab solid for, you know, over half a year now. And we don't read about many guys comparing to linebackers like Clay Matthews as far as playmaking ability and Navarro Bowman as far as his attitude to get to the ball. So those are lofty comparisons. We're not saying that's who he is. We're saying that you see flashes of that and that personality. I hope he goes from those aggressive defenses. It'll be so much fun. That can afford to even maybe wait and just, you know, maybe he's only a 50% player his first year, Chris. You know, we let him get back those legs.
Yeah. But he passed all his physicals, so I'm looking forward to watching him.
Rawls, I got to jump back. Rawls, a perfect example right now. Fantasy Pros experts that we participate with on drafts, mock drafts. Rawls still the 11th running back in PPR, Chris. I think that's crazy. I'm right with you. Would you put a player like Forte, Deion Lewis, and Eddie Lacy ahead of him because they're all behind him?
Definitely not Forte. I would not put Forte ahead of him.
But Lacy and Lewis you might?
Probably not Lacy either.
See, Lacy, I'm good with.
See, I don't see. What's the difference?
Well, I just had Belsey
there's
on the
there's
show,
just so. As much evidence that Eddie Lacy has lost weight that there is Carlos Hyde, and you laughed about Carlos Hyde last week.
Well, Carlos Hyde is there. Carlos Hyde is insanely. Carlos Hyde is 17th running back in PPR. Eddie Lacy or Rawls is 11.
I'm fine with Carlos Hyde there.
Yeah. And give him around
but,
four.
But yeah, you laughed about Carlos Hyde saying that there's various reports, but you're all over. You love Eddie Lacy and his P90X crap. he lost 15 pounds. Well, with the way Eddie Lacy looked at the end of the season, like cutting out dairy
that
would probably lose you 15
sauna.
Pounds. It would. Or,
yeah, one day in the sauna.
Yeah,
come
on. Like, I think it's great if he's, you know, taking it seriously and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you're gonna trust one rumor, Bob, trust both rumors.
Well, there's more than one rumor. We've got documented evidence on Eddie. I've got Eric Balkman talking to me about it. So that's like
Bob, I try to vet my rumors a little bit more than you do, apparently. I just throw out random crap and just assume that people are bad guys. I just feel like he's a bad guy. I don't know. I don't say things like that unless I actually read things.
Maybe I'm an undocumented source trying to drive down Carlos Hyde's stock price. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have been known to do that. But the problem with doing it now is that can actually happen because we have a podcast. Yes. When you were doing
it. Yeah, people actually listening.
Yeah, when you were doing it 15 years ago, it was just me and 10 other dudes that you were doing it with over email.
And our first couple of years, it was only like 600 people. Then it was 900 people.
Now it's
1,500 people. I'm not going to run into any of those people. Yeah. And it's like, it's 3,000 people. They're starting to listen to us.
It's way more than
oh, no.
First year now. So,
okay, so Carlos Hyde, in spirit of full disclosure, I love where he is right now because I think you're right. I think that's super, super value to get a running back of his talent coming back with enough time to be healthy again. And he's needed so badly by his team to be behind a guy like Rawls, to be behind a guy like Forte and CJ Anderson. I love it. So I think you're right. I think he's a great pick at 17 overall for running back. So he's a player certainly will probably find his way on my rosters because that's just tasty.
Well, and we're just talking about today, right?
Yes.
So, obviously, as the draft comes up, if the 49ers don't trade Davis, if they draft another offensive lineman, if they get it together a little bit more as far as being a cohesive team, Chip looks good in the preseason. That's probably going to go up, right?
I think he will start to push a player like CJ Anderson because people are going to be concerned about Denver. I think he's going to push a player like Forte, like you said. People are going to get concerned about the dual backfield and the Jets. Yeah, I think you're right. I think he's going to work his way up there. And I think Rawls could fall. I think you're right there. I think the Seahawks will probably do something there. And then people might start going, I'm not so sure he should be the 11th running back.
He's still getting over that injury, too.
That's also true. Thank you. That's right. So, and Deion Lewis, there's a lot of love. You know, it's easier to love Deion Lewis in a mock draft than in a real draft because you loved everything he did.
Yeah.
You loved the potential on that New England defense. But then when it comes on draft day, you're like, hey, I'm still betting on Bill Belichick using him most weeks, even if he is healthy, which we all know what Bill's like. And then I'm betting on Deion staying healthy in a team that can do so many things. So I think Deion will slide, actually, as we get closer to draft day.
The other thing, too, is he has not, in his career, been a 300-touch guy who plays 16 games.
Correct.
That's never happened. We don't have a history of that. Right. So that's a little scary, even though I like him.
Yep.
But
I like him too.
You mentioned the Seahawks. I thought this was interesting this week. John Schneider said that this is the most talented draft that he's seen since he's been in Seattle, which is 2010.
Yeah, that I saw that too. And, you know, I meant to ask Shane about that because I was not there. I was like, you know, I really don't like, but so it's not a sexy draft for wide receivers and running backs. But if you look at the entire draft, there's a lot to do for your team here on the fronts, the offense and defensive line.
Yeah. You gotta pick up the rookie scouting portfolio because I was kind of on board with you, but as I've been reading it, you know, there's just a lot of solid guys who could, you know, maybe exceed their potential a little bit and be really good players. I don't think that there's – so as far as star power goes, it's really for fantasy purposes maybe this year, Elliott, Treadwell, Doxson, Coleman, maybe that's it. I don't know. I'd have to read a little bit more.
That sounds pretty –
but those,
sounds pretty consistent.
But those four are kind of the ones that I could see really blowing up this year in their rookie year.
Right.
But further down the line, it's different. But at the same time, there's a lot of solid guys. There's probably 20 or 30 receivers that I wouldn't be absolutely shocked if they got 800 to 1,000 yards receiving this year.
Correct. And Dixon doesn't get anywhere near the hype as Elliott, but he looks to be a very good running back for a team that doesn't have a great wide third down, you know, running back they can exploit or a quarterback that can. Dixon helping a more, let's call it more vanilla offense.
Yeah, I mean, there's talented players in this draft, but I think that kind of reinforced something.
That's a good comment.
Reinforced something that when I was reading, I was just like, man, I kind of like the sound and the look of a lot of these guys were, not a lot of, I feel like that this is a good draft as far as character concerns go, as far as the talented guys. I think that most of them have their head on straight.
Yeah.
Which is helpful. So,
hey, you know, there's a wide receiver, DaQuil Williams from Auburn. Nice, impressive 12 catches last year. Had some red flag issues where he wasn't able to play. He's a guy who's kind of like a Dorial Green-Beckham roll of the dice.
I'm not talking sleepers before the draft with you. I'm just not. Once guys get to places, then I'll talk to
them. Oh, it's just a shame. So, yeah, Sterling Shepard, a player, going to, depending on where he goes, a wide receiver, you're right. And Dotson now moved way up boards from before pre-draft ranking. So, you're right. There's a lot there. And, hey, Fred Taylor's son, man. Fred Taylor's son is in the draft.
Yeah, it's great. There's a running back who I'm like avoiding talking to you or anyone about. I don't know. He's a good sleeper. I like him. Unfortunately, I'll have to discuss him at some point. But
you will.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
we hold nothing back, and it can't be Kenyon Reynolds, and it can't be friggin' Kenyon Drake. Those guys. That's just
he's obvious. He's lower rated than Fred Taylor's. Less talented than Fred Taylor's son.
That's pretty unusual for you. I'm going to definitely try to make sure I get this from you.
Okay. Godspeed.
Godspeed. It's a tease, man. You never do a tease.
Yeah. Josh Norman signed with the Redskins. Anything?
Yeah, we knew that was coming home. Money talks.
Yeah. Weird situation all around that they didn't try to trade him. I thought the Panthers, I thought that was a the kind of the strangest part about that is that they didn't even, it sounds like they didn't even really explore the trade market to see if they could get a pick. Of course, they'll get the compensatory pick next year. They'll get a third rounder, but you know, just to see if they could get one this year. I was kind of surprised that they didn't really do that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm completely surprised about it. And a big impact player, even if you don't think he is, some people don't believe he belongs in the category of talking about coverage skills with Peterson. That's up to you, but he's certainly one of the elite cornerbacks in the league. Certainly shuts down fantasy wide receivers from time to time. So, of course, a worthy signing of note for people who own wide receivers in the NFC East, correct? And there's a couple big names in there, Chris.
who are you talking about specifically?
Well, Dez Bryant and Odell Beckham. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, that's going to be four fun games to watch just because of that.
Well, the thing is, though, is that he's different, right? He's not Revis from 2 years ago where he's locking people down and he's following him. He's not that type of player. He's the best zone corner in football. He knows how to play the zone scheme extremely well. And cover three in Washington, you can't make the mistake of saying, oh, we're playing Odell Beckham this week, so we're going to lock him onto Odell Beckham. That's not the way he plays. It's not his forte. So yeah, like it's great. I think he's certainly going to improve that team, but don't mistake him and make him do something that he's not going to do. Like it kind of strikes me a little bit as the Eagles with Nnamdi Asamoah. Remember that?
Oh yes,
five years ago.
Yeah, he.
Where they just they signed him and they didn't utilize him properly. And I'm hoping that Washington doesn't do that, but we'll see. We'll find out. Have you been reading the Ezekiel Elliott stuff?
No, I have not read anything recently on Ezekiel. I've been a little bit beyond him in trying to discover who your sleeper running back is.
So the Dolphins might trade up for him, Bob.
Yes, this I have heard. They contacted me and asked my opinion on that. Yeah, they did.
I mean, it's not that I don't love Ezekiel Elliott, but I think it's misplaced for the Dolphins to go up on him. But I thought that the funniest thing is that apparently Jerry Jones is just foaming at the mouth for this guy. Read from multiple sources.
Oh, boy.
I think it was Dallas Morning News, Bleacher Report, and I even saw Clarence Hill talk about it on Twitter a little bit, that this is the guy who Jerry wants. Now, if you got Jalen Ramsey falling, if you got Laremy Tunsil falling, I don't know if they can resist those guys. But... Yeah. There's no better place for Ezekiel Elliott to go, right?
There is no better place for him to go with that offensive line, that need, that team that wants his success. I agree with you. I don't want him to go there, but I think the Cowboys can do better for their team. And, of course, Jerry doesn't really run at all, but I think he still does run at all. But, man, that would be great for Ezekiel Elliott, guys who draft him, there's no doubt.
Well, so, I mean... I guess the argument would be is that if they really want him and they're worried that somebody might come up to get him because, I mean, Matt Waldman doesn't mince words in the rookie scouting portfolio and says that basically he puts him on par with Gurley from last year. And a lot of people are comparing him to Frank Gore and Clinton Portis, two pretty good running backs. He's good, man. And if you're looking at what Dallas is missing currently,
that's it. It's
that kind of running back where once again they can give him 300 carries and he can just carry the offense and make things easier on Romo, address the defense with the rest of your draft, and move forward with Elliott. And I think it kind of makes a weird sort of sense.
Does Elliott almost do more to help Tony Romo stay healthy than another better offensive lineman?
They have four world-class offensive linemen already.
Right. So my question is, does he actually help Romo stay healthier all year?
So
I think he does.
He missed one game, I think, the year that Murray was going nuts. I'd have to look it up again, right? I think, or did he play all 16?
Sounds right.
I can't remember.
I think he might have played the whole year. But anyways, yeah, he had a good year that year.
That's the best version of that offense. Is the run heavy.
Right.
So I think that, you know, as much as I look like Alfred Morris.
Correct.
He's not on that level. I think
he's not that type of player. Right.
He's a B minus version of that. And I think he really helps the team. But if you insert, how else are you going to get this kind of talent?
You don't. And also, how else you get this kind of talent at that price?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing is where you're drafting him, and it's still a great price compared to what you pay for a veteran coming in.
I mean, they're pretty optimistic about Romo.
They are very optimistic.
You could extend his career for another year or two if you get a running back and you really lean on him. Other than the Cowboys, is there a team that you'd say that you would be not as excited because they have the best offensive line in the league, but that you'd be very excited to see him go to?
I can't see it right now.
What about Cleveland, the Giants?
No. And they're dysfunctional offenses. I mean, they get points. They get, like the Giants, they get points. They move the ball, but they never, even when they've had the talent in the right spots, they never exploit it consistently. So that's and their line's not good enough. I don't think they've made some nice offseason moves, but I don't like it. Cleveland's a wreck. So I don't wish that on anybody right now. They got to move down, get picks, draft lots of players. They should set a record for undrafted free agent signings in Cleveland, in my opinion. They should also sign at a record for how many coaches are on the team in the offseason to help them evaluate players they sign. And they should have a heck of a media guide for fun things to do in Cleveland. I feel bad.
What are those fun things? Do you know?
Cleveland's a fun town. I've been up there. So you just gotta get the word out. I mean, you know, they're getting a nasty rep for this failures of there. So talk about what you got and let's build a franchise. I mean, man, they had Johnny Manziel.
We're presupposing that Cleveland is still standing come next football season between LeBron James potentially leaving. Again, and the Republican National Convention. Those are two things that are big wild cards for the city of Cleveland. I'll give you the close second to the Cowboys, in my opinion.
Yeah.
For getting Elliott. Yeah. And I can't believe you didn't mention these guys because they're purportedly one of your favorite teams, but the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, I looked a little bit at that actually, and you know, I love what they're doing with their wide receivers and quarterback. I think their defensive signings have been very sneaky this year.
Yep.
I think they're doing a really good job with money.
Their offensive line's good too, man.
And exactly. I like what they've – I mean, you can see that Reggie McKenzie coming through now, right? I mean, we didn't see that the first year or two, and now you're seeing it. And this the overall talent on this team is going up. Yeah, you're right. They could get Ezekiel. Pretty interesting.
Seeing them move if Elliott isn't there and seeing them move back for, you know, and grabbing Henry – a little later, or Dixon to pair with Murray, I think would also be pretty.
It would
pretty interesting. They really, if they had a steady running game to go along with what they have, they'd be a pretty dangerous team and a fun team. We have a lot of Raiders fans who I'd like to see their emails after that because they would just be they're already excited enough, but they'd have to be hosed down. They'd have to be hosed down after that.
They are excited, and that is good. I just think, I think he's the type of running back, though, that's got to be used a lot once he gets warming up. You hate to see Gurley only get six carries and a half, for example. So if Ezekiel Elliott goes over there, and you got Derek Carr and Cooper and Crabtree and Murray, you got to make sure you're a little bit concerned with that. But it's a little bit like you know, you look at Murray. If you sign another running back to run with him, whether it's Zeke or moving down, like you said, it's not like what the Jags are doing with Yeldon. I think what the Jags did, bringing in another running back to help them, Chris Ivory and Yeldon, not great for fantasy, but wonderful for your team success. So I like that. And don't forget, go to allpurposeroto.com. You will find the Fantasy Football Auction Championship. Chris has been dominating me in auctions for a few years. We finally ended up doing an online auction championship and live event that will happen as well. Go to the website. You'll find out details on a very affordable auction championship. Be the world champion of auction.
Yeah, and we're looking to move it up or speed it up too. So if you're worried about the lengths that auctions take, we have brainstormed some pretty fun ways to speed up the auction process. So don't let that be what holds you back. It's a really fun format. If you've never done it, I greatly prefer auctions to snake drafts.
Definitely a lot of fun doing an auction draft in unique format. Drop Chris or myself an email. We'll talk about it a bit. We've got some neat little twists in it that will make it fun. Also on the website, our weekly newsletter you can sign up for. It's free, and you will be entered into a drawing to win a main event team. That's right, a free main event team at the KFFFC or a free main event team at the Southern Bluegrass Fantasy Football Championship just for signing up to get our little one-page rant once every 2 weeks. You'll be entered into that. So hit that website up, guys. Don't forget. What else we got, Chris?
I wanted to talk about the funniest thing about the Eagles trading up to the number 2 pick.
There's nothing funny about that.
You don't think that Sam Bradford being really upset that they traded up for the number two pick is funny?
Oh yeah, that is funny. Yeah, let's talk about that. That is funny.
I stared at my computer screen for like an hour trying to come up with an analogy. like a real world analogy or like a pop culture analogy of this situation, but I mean it just comes down to someone who sucks at their job being pissed that they're being replaced by someone who probably sucks less than them at that job. That's it. I can't make it. I wish I could make it eloquent for you guys, but this is a joke.
I guess that is what it is. And the only other thing I can add to it is being told you're going to get replaced after they just told you to go ahead and buy a new house and tell your wife to quit her job and move down with you. And then you do that.
It's kind of like last year where Andy Reid was kind of perplexed that people were questioning his play calling during the Patriots game.
Yeah.
Accept it, dude. Like Andy Reid, you're very good at certain things, and play calling and, you know, clock management. That's not it. That's not where you really excel. And you gotta accept your faults. Accept your faults, Sam. I mean, you're about to make, what is it, $30 million? I think it's 25 or 30 million guaranteed over the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, your body's been broken several times, and just you know, kind of kick back, relax. Keep cashing those checks.
Enjoy it.
Be a backup quarterback after this contract. The life of a backup quarterback seems kind of nice.
Still, you're involved in the NFL. You can get a good payday, and you'll get some games under your belt because everybody gets hurt. But there's really only two paths for him to follow. I don't want to beat this topic up too much, but really, he can get bitter, go over the top, and just outburst, act out, and try to get himself out of there, which will probably not work very well, okay?
Yeah.
And because teams just aren't going to be enamored to want that player, never mind his performance. So that's one. And two, like you just said, is say, hey, buckle down. I got to play as good as I can because, one, I want to make sure I'm on this team next year as the backup if they do that and they want to go to a new franchise quarterback. Or two, I want to show I have enough value that a team that suffers a bad injury would trade for me later this year or next year because I am a team player. I do know it's a business, and I'm out here to perform and win football games.
So we make fun of Sam quite a bit.
You do.
You do too. Stop it.
Sometimes, yeah, but I'm pulling for him, man. So, Oklahoma, let's go.
Why do you suddenly have Oklahoma pride?
I don't know. I you know what it is? I don't know. I think I remember the pictures of him on draft day.
Very strange.
Anyway. Yeah,
this is very strange. In any case,
maybe it's Zach Ertz love. Maybe that's what it is.
Okay. What's the percentage chance that Sam takes this to heart and is a decent quarterback next year?
This year, you mean?
This year, yeah.
Chances, I think, in the end are 65%.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, it is.
65%.
That's the only way he can go. He has to go that way.
Well, but no, I'm saying like a actually like startable backup fantasy quarterback.
Oh, what are the chances of him being a backup fantasy quarterback?
Yeah.
I think that's okay. I can live with that.
65%.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine. I think the Eagles might not. The Eagles take a quarterback. Maybe I'm still in disbelief. I'm like, why would you take a quarterback? You just signed two.
Assuming Ryan Fitzpatrick re-signs with the Jets, Sam Bradford or Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Fitzpatrick.
Sam Bradford or Tyrod Taylor?
Sam Bradford.
I disagree. Sam Bradford or Cousins?
Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford or Brock Osweiler?
Sam Bradford. As my two.
Dalton.
Every time we're talking about as your two, I would take Dalton. And do I hate Andy Dalton?
How about Alex Smith?
Sam Bradford.
Oh, poor Alex.
I'm with the offense. I'm with the talent. I'm with the coach. I'm with the fact I can get Chase Daniels.
I'm gonna say one that's gonna hurt you. This is gonna hurt Ryan Tannehill.
That's not fine. That's different. I hate that. It's a lot closer than it should be, but right now it's Tannehill.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's painful.
It really depends on how good the Dolphins practice squad is because his confidence was really shot after they really beat him up last year.
Yeah, it depends on if they bring in some kids from some flag football team for the Dolphin offense to run against in practice, so they don't. Man, they've got so many problems on that team.
Just to remember future Dolphins players, go easy on Ryan Tannehill. Go easy on him.
Yeah, nice.
He's had a
nice
hard life.
Practice.
He's had it rough.
Man.
So it seems Colin Kaepernick is staying with the 49ers because that trade, it sounds like, was conditioned on the Niners getting one of these two quarterbacks. Chip wanted one of these two guys. And smartly, they weren't willing to pay the price to move up to get one of those guys. I think that the whole crap about Balky and Kaepernick not talking is idiotic, and Balky should be an adult and try to smooth over the situation. But I think this is the best thing that could happen to Kaepernick. Like, who would you rather see get a shot with Colin Kaepernick than Chip Kelly?
Oh, I think it's great, provided they all want to work together and succeed. But I think the label's already been placed out there. The team's already been started to be reset. I personally think he is definitely traded before the draft. They're going to get what they can, and they're going to move on. I think he's as good as gone.
Huh. I wonder who's actually going to do it, though.
I think Denver will still do it. I think they'll still do it.
I don't think so.
I think he's gone because they want to start over. And to be honest with you, they'll start over with Brian Hoyer. They'll do it. And then you know what I think is a telltale sign that they're going to make a deal is the Niners are going, well, we didn't get our guy, so we can't trade him. And then the Broncos go, and did you notice Mark Sanchez looks great? So they're both just trying to put spin out there right now.
Hey, man, tell it to me true. Was Peyton Manning, as constituted the last half of last season, worse than Brian Hoyer or Mark Sanchez?
Tell it to me true is definitely a segment we need to start having on the show right now. I love that. That's going to be a new segment. Tell it to me true. And that's just fantastic. I don't know where you pulled that from. And no question, Sanchez and Hoyer over Peyton Manning last year.
Physically. Now,
no question.
From a mental standpoint, obviously Peyton is on a different level than those two.
Yeah, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter what his mental statement was. And he also hurt the team chemistry.
You know what also?
But they still won the championship, which is amazing.
You know what also John Elway should be doing is signing Von Miller rather than just meeting Von Miller's demands rather than worrying about trading for Colin Kaepernick, I would say.
It was a rough offseason for Denver. They have lost talent in many locations. They got outmaneuvered and outspent on C.J. Anderson to get him back in the fold. They had to pay Ronnie Hillman to come back because they were worried about that. They lost both their quarterbacks. They lost offensive line talent, defensive line talent. So, it's been a rough year to be Rocky Mountain High.
I put this warning out last year. You did not listen to me.
Of course not.
And some Giant fans' friends did not listen to me. But Victor Cruz, Jerry Reese talked this week about anything that they get from him is just strictly a bonus and that they're not expecting anything from him. That was a really bad knee injury, Bob. It's unfortunate. Yes. It was a very, very bad knee injury.
I think those last two sentences you said are literally, I think you just cut those in from 12 months ago today. That's a really bad knee injury, Bob. That's a very bad injury.
Yeah. I couldn't get over it when you came back. Was it Bowling Green that you came back from? And I saw that you had a roster with Victor Cruz on it. And I was like, Bob, what are you doing? I was just beside myself.
And I was happy. It was like a 16th round pick or something. I was like, I got him in the 16th round. This is fantastic.
And I was just beside myself.
He's your first cut.
Yeah. I think I was more just like, have you not listened to me for the last 3 months? Have you not listened
to me? Chose not to. That's correct. Well, that's a good fantasy tip, folks. Don't listen to somebody all the time. Pick certain information you like. So in that case, Chris was 100% correct, and I was 100% incorrect.
I wanted to talk about because this seems to happen a good amount where a rookie running back comes in, struggles, people forget about him, he falls a little bit further than he should.
I know where you're going. I like this.
Le'Veon Bell is the last one that I can really remember happened with this. Yep. Melvin Gordon, man. I've read a pretty great interview with him on Chargers.com admitting that he was terrible last year, that he made a lot of mistakes, didn't blame his offensive line, which I thought was he had every reason to blame his offensive line.
Yep, that's the way.
They were terrible, and he took personal responsibility.
I love where you're going with this. He is super great value right now. I hope he stays right where he is. I think you're right. He was a little nicked up, and some of these college running backs coming in, you know, they need a little more time to get ready for the NFL, the complexity of the playbook, his offensive line. Not only were they missing some players, they also had health issues all year. The wide receivers in San Diego had issues all year, so it wasn't a good year. And right, his value is down, you know, and that's beautiful. I think, and now this year, the offensive line, not only is healthier, they made a couple additions, makes them better. Who knows what they get in the draft, like you talk about. I think you're looking at a fantastic running back upside, depending on where he goes right now, and he's certainly huge on my radar.
Selfishly, and well, I don't know why I'm saying selfishly, because I'm not him, but if they got Tunsil, that'd be great. That'd be great for him.
He's
a fun player to watch for this year. I do like to see these kind of rebounds where, you know, people are down on him because he struggled so much and they had to draft him high last year. And I'm really pulling for him. I hope he comes around and has a decent year.
Divisional opportunity, right? I mean, Kansas City's still there, year older. It wasn't a good offseason for Kansas City if you haven't been watching them. Mm-hmm. They still have those talented players, but it was not a good year, folks. And then they got to play Denver, not a good year for them. Oakland on the rise. You know, you have a little fun triangle there, right? Keenan Allen, Phillip Rivers, Melvin Gordon. I'll take it.
Yeah, and division is getting a little bit better, but I think that the Chargers are going to improve as well.
Right.
I think that the Chiefs and the Broncos defense is going to be slightly worse, whereas the Raiders are going to be slightly better.
Yep, same.
It's going to be fun to watch. I can't wait for the draft just to see where we can kind of start slating these guys, because making assumptions based without rookies is kind of tough. It's a tough proposition.
Well, we only spend 20% of the time other folks do on it. So you put a governor on it. You put a limit on the hypothetical talk.
Yeah. I mean, I like talking kind of in roundabout ways about players. But
exactly.
If the Cowboys do take Ezekiel Elliott, where does he go in a redraft league?
An all rookie, he's 1-1.
Well, yeah.
And obviously. in a redraft league, I think he's a first round pick.
How high?
I'm going to say 1-8.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think it could go higher than that too. People love rookies, man. People
they do love it, them. But yeah, I'll be like you and about 100 other guests we've had on the show, and we'll take about 10 wide receivers ahead of him.
Yeah, well, like I said, I think that this might be the year where I zig when everybody else is zagging.
Yeah, I'm with you on that overall, but not on Ezekiel Elliott with Alfred Morris
on
the board looking at.
He's not the running back that you do that with. Yeah, that's a good point. Is that he's not the running back that you do that strategy with? It's
not at 1-6 or 1-6. But if Le'Veon Bell falls to you and people are going wide receiver crazy like some of the mocks have, or Jamal Charles is there at the end of the round. I mean, you can flip. That's what's the great strategy we always talk about. Do not come into your drafts going, I'm taking wide receiver, tight end, running back. Don't do that.
Yeah, no.
You go in, you have your players ranked to see what happens, right?
You're going to – you are not – rarely will that actually happen the way that you like it.
Exactly. All right. Or only if you force it to happen, and then you will look at the draft afterwards and go – geez, I can't believe I took that wide receiver in that second round when so-and-so was on the board. Well, that's because you were only looking at wide receivers because you told yourself I have to take a wide receiver there. So if those running backs fall, which is what Chris is talking about and it's been happening, and they're falling much worse than last year, you're at the end of round one. You need to be ready to face the fact you might go running back this year if you're on the turn.
Yep, absolutely. All right, anything else? We went wrong again today, but Hopefully, people enjoy
it. Oh, special.
Yep. All right. At AllPurposeRoto on Twitter, allpurposeroto@gmail.com. If you go to the website, you can sign up for the newsletter and also the Fantasy Football Auction Championship, which we really hope that you sign up for. We're going to be pretty heavily involved in that, and that's going to be a ton of fun. Looking forward to that quite a bit. Anything else, Bob?
That's it. Thanks,
guys.